Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. I'm Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at Twitter user Jeezy Supremacy.
On the far right over here, you can find me on Twitter at Willems, WILLLUMZ.
I'm Usad. You can find me at UsadNBA on Twitter.
And I'm Will. You can find me on Twitter at Bias Houston.
And today we're going to be talking about our top 10 point guards in the league going into 2025-2026. We'll lead it off with Dre.
Oh, man. Right off the bat. To no surprise to anybody.
Also, real quick caveat.
We have to add this caveat.
We are projecting for the 25-26 season. Yes. So if you are projected to miss the 25-26 season, you will not be included. So
for layman's terms, Tyrese Halliburton, not on this list. He's going to be out the entire year with the Achilles injuries, as well as Damian Lillard. This one name I don't want to spoil because I don't know if some people have him on this list or not because of his injury, but we'll get to that later on. But to nobody's surprise, man, the best point guard in the NBA as of right now, man, it's Jaylen I'm playing. The reigning MVP of the NBA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is my number one. Are there any objections from the field on that one?
I'd be pretty shocked if that wasn't
the panel.
A unanimous agreement on the panel. Actually, shouldn't be the only one because I don't think number two should come
I think the next one should also be unanimous.
Number two shouldn't come in much disagreement. Newly inked extension, so he's going to be a Laker long term, it seems like, at least. Luka Doncic is my number two point guard in the NBA as of right
Everyone
now.
Got Luka,
yeah,
too?
Everyone's got Luka, too. Y'all want to dive into that Luka extension a tad bit, just kind of what it means for him, what it means for the Lakers' future. Sacrificed a bit of money now signing that three-year deal. Shout out to Nico Harrison for costing him a couple of million immediately. Signed 3 years, $165 million, with a player option on the last season. What it does set him up for is when he declines that player option, he can then sign the Supermax 5 for $417 million.
Which will be the first $1 million a game contract for an NBA player. It's going to be $82 million a year. I think it's like $419 million. Which will be the total length of the contract. So, I mean, it'll be deserved at that point if he plays up the next 3 years, which I think we all think he will, barring injury. So, you know, shout out to Luka. Going to be the first.
He's taking a pay cut right now, too.
You didn't see the men's health article? Bro, we got skinny Luka, man.
I was going to say, the slander is going to be very funny. Like, man, he made $1 million this game playing that defense.
You know, one thing I did want to say about SGA, not to kind of go all the way back, but I did want to say, we'll probably talk about it more when we get into the awards episode, which we'll probably be doing sometime closer when the season starts.
Stay tuned.
But when we get into that, I have SGA repeating as the MVP again next season. And the reason why is because I think that the Thunder, I mean, they didn't get any, like, they have all their guys back. Like, they kept everybody who was a part of their team last year. You could say they feasibly got better with the addition of Tomas Sorobor. They have Nikola Topic. Hopefully, you know, he looked pretty decent in summer league, so maybe he plays for them next year. And so, yeah, I don't see them going anywhere anytime soon. And I think they're going to be the number one seed again. And I think that the best player in the number one seed has a really easy time of getting MVP, especially when you're going to put up the numbers SGA is going to put up. So I think he's repeating. So I do think that he is the number one point guard for a reason. And I think Luka, for as good as he has been in the past, like maybe 2 years ago, it would be the other way around. But, you know, right now, I think it's SGA.
I'm curious if there's any controversy at three. I have Steph.
Oh, I don't have Steph.
I also do not have Steph.
I have Steph.
So we're a little split here.
Yeah, right? I had to keep continuity from our top 15 players episode. I have Jalen Brunson at three.
Okay.
Yeah, I also have Jalen Brunson.
Is he your four?
He's my four.
Yeah, he's my four.
Okay, so this seems like a...
Steph is my four.
Is Steph your four as well? Okay, so it seems like we just mix on just Jalen flip.
I just
Steph.
Think Brunson, what he's been able to prove in the regular season and postseason on a Knicks team that I think gets a bit gassed with how good it is offensively. Obviously, they've shored up on the defensive end, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, whenever Mitchell Robinson is healthy, Deuce McBride as well, which let's be honest, Mitchell Robinson's hoping you do stay healthy, man. But they've shored up some of his weaknesses on the defensive end. He's a 6-foot guard. But what he does offensively, man, he is a legitimate engine, one of the best scorers in basketball, one of the best 6-foot and under scores I think we've ever seen in this league. Fun story, you'll see the Suns jersey in the back, and this is 10th grade year before like anybody knew who Jalen Brunson was. My coach, shout out Coach Chris Veazey, the Kapolei Suns, he'd put on Villanova tape and be like, this guy's gonna make so much money in the NBA because he plays off 2 feet. And we're like, man, this doesn't look cool. 7 years later,
it looks
amazing.
It looks real cool.
And he's the number 3 point guard on my list. So I just think what he's done in the regular season and then him not being a playoff dropper, and you could argue being a legitimate playoff riser for a team that kind of just throws him the ball and says, make something happen, man. So that's why he's above Steph for me.
Yeah.
I mean, not going to push back super hard on that since we all have him 3-4, yeah. But I was going to make the case for Steph is just, I mean, it is Steph. Like, I think what he provides with his off-ball gravity, his overall, what he gives to that offense is such an insane floor. Like, when he's off the court, even when the KD Warriors were around, their plus minuses went as kind of Steph went. And I think even though he's lost a step since those days, I do think it is significant that he's still, like, one of the league leaders in plus minus, no matter what kind of roster they put around him. His on-offs are still, like, his impact on that team offensively with...
He is that team.
Yeah, he is the team with and without the ball.
Respect, like, Jonathan Kuminga?
The Warriors don't, so... Yeah, they offered him, what, 3 years, 15 mil?
I think he's getting a qualifying offer at this point.
Yeah, it's like 7.9. Yeah, so point is, Warriors don't respect Jonathan Kuminga. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And Steve Kerr doesn't either, actually. He doesn't play many minutes.
I mean, we played him in that series, and I mean, some of the screenshots that came from that game, I think it was game 2.
It's game 2.
Of us just, like, hugging him.
We fouled him,
bro. Like, I'm gonna be honest, and that's always been a conversation with Steph, how he's refereed compared to some other players. He doesn't have a great whistle. I'll be the first to admit that, even as a Warriors hater for life. But he's still a top 4 point guard in the league. I think Brunson's a bit better of a playmaker. If you want to make the argument that Steph's gravity is his playmaking,
I think that's an argument. Yeah,
it is.
It's not to sound like Warriors fans, but, like, I do think the gravity thing does carry a lot of weight, especially when you're talking about a guy like Brunson who, for all his faults, I mean, for all, like, everything he does well, he is a smaller guy who is, I think, a little more reliant on getting, like, into an action, getting into like running, morning a set, like getting a play, versus Steph is just kind of like,
I'd push back on that. He's an ISO scorer.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's really efficient.
Like, especially, man, that, like, name me a play Tom Thibodeau ran.
That's fair.
Save us, Jalen Brunson.
That's what I'm saying. I think they have similar arguments in terms of what they mean for their teams offensively. I think Steph just has taken a step back in the regular season.
He has.
I think playoff time, Steph Curry's still Steph Curry.
If he did not play as well as he did in the playoffs, I would not have him at 3. It's kind of my logic for Steph is, until I can look at Steph and be like, all right, you're definitely not that guy anymore.
No.
I got to respect him and put him on 3. Yeah. And he showed me in the playoffs, like, okay, you know what? He's still got it.
Yeah.
And because of that, especially, I don't think Brunson had the best playoffs, honestly. Like, no, it.
Like, for his standards.
Like, he definitely had better playoff series. Yeah.
I think Zay wants to say something about Brunson.
I was going to say, I think with the Brunson thing, for me, it's just on a game-to-game basis, I think Brunson is more consistent than Curry, like, at this point. Because, you know, obviously,
I'd agree with that.
The last, honestly, since, like, the KD days, Curry's always had, like, a month out the season where it's, like, he slumps or he always starts off super-duper hot and then it tails off. But the older he's gotten, the more it's gotten pronounced, of, like, oh, well, you know, these, like, 2 months in a season, it's, like, 22 on, like, negative efficiency.
Yeah.
Whereas Brunson, he's kind of just consistently, like, 28-7 on 60-plus true shooting. And then in the playoffs, I will say, I still think Brunson had a really, really good playoffs this year, and obviously last year he had a great playoffs. And for me, I think part of what also dogs Curry is, he only played 8 games. He played, well, not even 8, he played 7 games in a quarter. Got hurt in the second quarter of game 1 of the second round, which I feel like that also kind of aids to, at this point, when it's time for him to ramp it back up, can he? And I know Brunson can. Brunson's had, like, the most usage in the league the last 2 seasons. So I think that in itself is why I would have him at 4. But obviously, you know, this is 3-4. Like, I feel like that there's no
argument. We're splitting hairs.
We're splitting hairs.
It's more of a preference thing. I do want to ask, before we get to number 5, would any of you guys have had Tyrese Haliburton?
I was going to ask that same question.
So
before we even get there, so I'm assuming nobody would have had Haliburton above Brunson, correct?
No.
Okay, because I see that's an argument people have on Twitter.
I will say it is close to
me. Yeah, it's close. He's in that group to me with, I think it's Hallie, Steph, Brunson, I think is their own tier of point guard.
I'm looking at my list. I think I would have put Hallie at 5.
I mean, personally, I would have.
I would have had him at five.
Yeah, I probably would have also had him
to
at 5.
To parlay in that now, who did you guys have at 5?
I want him to go first.
Yeah.
I had Kyrie at 5.
Whoa.
I'm glad we went here first.
Yeah, I had Kyrie.
Kyrie.
That feels a bit Okay.
We're very high.
Who do you have?
I have Kate Cunningham.
I also have Kate Cunningham.
I have Kate Cunningham as well.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, my argument for Kyrie is I think that we're getting into a tier of point guards that are outside of him a bit less efficient, and their efficiency and their impact to their team kind of is more lenient towards playmaking. And for me, I think I would take what Kyrie adds as a scorer. Obviously, he's still 25 plus a game on really good efficiency. He's really good off ball. He's one of the best off ball scorers in the entire league. And then he can also give you like 5 or 6 assists a game.
Bro, who are you and what have you done with Jesus?
I think
this is kind of
crazy. Are you arguing scoring over playmaking?
I mean, it's not over playmaking. It's more so that the guys we're talking about, I think, are at this point lower tier number one options. And I think Kyrie is still a higher tier number two option. So I think in relation to those guys, give me the higher tier number two guy.
Okay, but it's a question to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to swap, and this is like a reductive way to look at basketball. If you were to swap Kyrie Irving with Cade Cunningham on the Pistons, that team go the same, further, or less?
I think that would be worse. I think it would be worse because I don't think Kyrie can take the usage that
I think
Cade
that,
can.
Yeah.
And that's why I have
that's
Cade.
My, that's why I have Cade.
That's my pushback over Kyrie is I think he's been phenomenal pre-injury, obviously, and that's another reason why I had him a bit lower going into next season. But pre-injury, he was really good, but he wasn't playing point guard. He wasn't playing point guard next to Luka. I think obviously we've gotten a bit away from what positions mean in basketball. Like, he's a 6'2 guard. That's a point guard. Like, at the end of the day, like, that's what he is. Like, he's a 6'2 point guard.
I mean,
guard.
You could make an argument he won't be even playing point guard next to D'Lo. Or unless D'Lo comes off.
I know, there's no way they play him together. There's no way you play D'Lo and Kyrie together. Jason Kidd would together. You should fire him if he does that. But I just think he is a point guard, and obviously when Luka got traded, he did assume more on-ball reps, and he was really good at it. I mean, it wasn't like he was a massive drop in efficiency or wasn't the same caliber of player. I just think, to Will's point, like some of the other guys we're going to name, I think because of what they get tasked to do on their teams, I value that a bit more than just, hey, Kyrie, here's second side actions. Hey, Kyrie, here's nail ISOs. You know, and he's incredibly efficient at it. He's one of the best ever. I was kind of expecting Kyrie to be lower on everybody else. So I don't know.
I was surprised to hear him have Kyrie.
I'm going to say, for me, it's nothing against Kyrie, but this is a projecting list, at least the way I did it when I was doing it, because considering we don't have Hallie and Dame on it because they're going to be out for the season, I think Cade is going to take another leap this year.
I was going to say,
Do you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, I think he'll be more efficient next year.
Yeah, so I just think Cade projecting another leap, Kyrie, best case scenario is come back January. I just think, for me, factoring those two, that's why. I mean, we'll get to it, but I have a pretty significant gap.
So I'm assuming neither of y'all have Kyrie at 6 then, right?
No.
Okay, and I don't either. And then before we move on, I did want to say to Cade, I do think that he is, because of, at least on Twitter, how much people love Cade Cunningham, I think he's kind of gotten in, like, where people try to correct that by underrating him. I think Cade Cunningham is a really good basketball player. I pulled up his stats just really quickly. He was 26-6-9 on 57 if you round up true shooting last season, and
that's really good.
And I was gonna say, I need people to understand he was that Detroit Pistons team. Like, that team only goes as far as Cade Cunningham takes it. And obviously they did add the vets and like Tim Hardaway Jr., Tobias Harris.
Think about the names you just
Malik. I mean, think about what they were coming from before they added them. So they did add quality vets of the room that I think absolutely made a difference for that team. But that team was Cade Cunningham. If he does not take the leap that he takes last season, a team that they set the record for most consecutive L's.
The Wingstop Pistons.
Yeah, the team that was historically bad was a playoff team. And that is Cade Cunningham.
I always vividly remember that press conference where he's like, looking at the sheets, like, we not this bad, bro. Like, we not this bad. Funny enough, I think they won their next game. And it's always been that thing with Cade of, you know how talented he is. The one thing I think is that stopping him from leaping a Steph, leaping a Brunson, he's incredibly turnover prone.
The turnovers.
And it's not turnovers are all bad, but they're not good turnovers. He just, He gets plucked.
He gets walled up. So just... I thought about this after watching Jalen Green in the playoffs. There's like point shaving turnovers that I think are more than just like, oh, you tried to thread the needle and the ball went out of bounds. No, this like you turn the ball over at half court and the other team's getting
like,
a wide open.
It's like, what the hell are you doing right
now? I love Cade, but he has a few more of those than you probably should.
He also cannot peak as high of a scorer as a Brunson or as a Curry for me. So I think that's kind of where he's capped at.
I think that would be his next jump.
Pull up shooting.
Really got to take a leap as a pull up shooter. Intrigued to hear you guys have it.
Start with you again. Why do y'all keep starting with me?
Because your list is a lot of whack.
The whole feng shui of the list.
I have Harden at six.
Oh, you have Kate at six.
Okay, funny enough, I also have James Harden at six.
I do not.
He's lower on mine.
Yeah, I say he's lower on mine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I still have Harden at six.
I feel like once again, I gotta reiterate, we're projecting the 25-26 season.
Yeah, we're projecting. I'm gonna be honest. I just think the guys under him, I don't expect to get much better. And we'll get to them. I think the thing with James Harden is he's gonna be a year older, but I know exactly what he is. He's 18-10. Yeah. And that 10 is running a incredibly, incredibly productive offense with a lot of parts around it that probably shouldn't be as good as they are. Like, we think about Ivica Zubac different because of James Harden and what he did. We don't expect Norman Powell. We don't expect Kawhi Leonard to have to do as much because he has James Harden there. Like, he makes the joke, but, like, he is the system. For better or for worse, however you feel about him, you give that guy the ball, let him run a million pick and rolls a game, you're going to generate good offense. He's still a very effective ISO scorer. When he needs to ramp it up, he can't do it as much anymore. And it's the reason to me why he's not top five. But I still know what that guy is. He's still one of the five best passers in basketball right now.
Yeah.
And when you need him to do it, that guy's still going to go get you a bucket. So that's the reason I have him at six. Who the hell do y'all have at six?
We might the same person. Who do you have?
I have Maxie.
I don't have Maxie on my list.
So I'm also just kind of projecting. So I'm just gonna a little spoiler here. The next three guys on my list are kind of young, and the reason for that is
I think
the league is kind of taking a youth movement right now, and Harden Harden's on my list. I'll spoil that.
He made my list.
Mr. Development isn't linear. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Development isn't linear. And Tyrese Maxey has already averaged 27 and 26 and 6 in the season. I think next year, even with Embiid out, that team isn't quite as bad as I think everyone is kind of ragging on it. Like I like their young guys. I like their guards.
I like their young guys. I don't like their team though.
I'm saying in terms of for him to put up numbers, they're not going to win a ton of games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just think some of the guys that you put him above, I think they're the same age, and they're just better right now, and I expect them to get better, too.
Do you have Maxie at all on your list?
Yeah, I have him on my list.
Okay. I have Maxie at seven.
You don't have Maxie at all on your list?
Maxie at seven?
Okay, who's your six?
My six is Darius Garland.
Okay.
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 I have Darius Garland at six.
I ain't going to lie.
He's on my list.
Garland's also on my list.
He's on my list. I don't have him at six.
He ain't nowhere near seven. I ain't going to lie to you.
Okay, he's seven on my list. Garland.
Okay, so we're not.
So me and him have Garland and Maxie switch.
Well, I don't have Maxie at all.
Oh, you don't have Maxie.
You don't have.
Oh.
No.
Well, so you're
wait, so your six is Garland.
Yes. You're,
who's your seven? Garland at six?
Funny enough, I have Trae Young at seven.
Trae Young's not on my list.
So, spoiler alert for me as well. I do have Harden on my list. He's, spoiler, not six or seven. And that is because I am both projecting.
Garland over Harden, yeah.
In 2025, 2026, I think I am.
And I think Garland had a...
Yes.
You could debate he had a better season last year.
I think Darius Garland is underrated. I'm going to talk about Darius Garland in a second. I also think that James Harden, everybody knows, that's my favorite player of all time. He'll be 36 next year.
Yeah.
I think Father Time, at a certain point in time, has to be undefeated. And even though he's kind of beat those allegations for the last, like, 2-3 years, I think this is the year. We've seen some of the off-season photos and whatnot. I think he's going to be good. Like I said, he's still on my top 10 list, but I don't think he's going to be the same player. I think we'll see him, you know, a guy who stayed relatively healthy might start taking some games off here or there, right? Because for him, it is more about getting to the postseason as opposed to the regular season right now. And then, love that guy to death. He, at this point, man, I hate to say it, he shrinks in the big moments. He was not there for the Clippers, and they needed him the most this postseason. And for
I will say, in all fairness, but the whole team, Garland, I'm gonna say the whole team was
there, but come on, like he took like what, eight shots It was something ridiculous.
But they just got bludgeoned.
I tried not to like take that game out of my head. But
so you have what's your 6-7 again?
So Darius Garland's in my 6 and Trey's in my 7. I think Darius Garland is super underrated. Like I love Darius Garland.
I think we've gone too far on the Garland.
He's on my list, but I don't know.
Here's why I love Darius Garland. I think we look at this list, how many of these guys are like true point guards?
I got a few.
That we've named so far.
Trae Young.
No, well, I mean, okay, well, Trae was in my 7.
Yeah,
like in the top 5, in my eyes, these guys, like SGA, we talked about it, you know, before the last podcast, a little bit off camera. SGA is technically a shooting guard. He's a shooting guard. I think Steph is technically a shooting guard. Luka is, I don't even know what you would describe him as, but I think he transcends
offense.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And like same thing on Brunson. I think Brunson is a 6'1" shooting guard, right? And he's really great at it. No disrespect to him at all. I think Darius Garland is some of the last of a dying breed of a guy who is an actual point guard. He can read the floor. He makes real reads. He manipulates a real defense. And that's also on top of him still being, in my eyes, what is he, like 20 points per game, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, I mean, he made the All-Star game averaging 20 and 10, I believe.
Yeah, and even though he doesn't leave, he leaves a lot to be desired defensively, I think what he provides from an offensive perspective, I think that's a dying breed.
I think my pushback on Garland and why I have him a little low, he's on my top 10 still, but the reason I have him a little lower, he's not asked to do as much as some of these other guys. Like, Trae Young is the Atlanta Hawks. We talked about it with Cade earlier. Cade is the Pistons. Trae Young, as of right now, is the Atlanta Hawks. You can make an argument Darius Garland's the third most important person on his team. Like, I think that I think this is the case. Like, he's just asked to do a little bit less. He's splitting ball handler reps with Donovan Mitchell a lot. He's nothing for them defensively. Just being quite fair. Like, he is absolutely nothing for them defensively.
I mean, to be fair, you're arguing him over Trey.
A lot of these dudes are comes. I just think that the guys that I have above him are asked to do a bit more and produce. Like, they produce more in that scenario. Like, I don't know if I could put Darius Garland on the Hawks and the Hawks stay afloat. I don't think so.
I mean, would you describe the Hawks as afloat with Trae Young these last couple of years? That's my pushback.
I mean, when he's on, yeah.
But Trae hasn't had an efficient.
No, not just when he's, efficient, when he's on the court. Yeah. Oh. Like, he, for better or for worse, how you feel about a 6'1", Trae Young being a heliocentric player, like, I posted this when people were having that conversation about, like, who's the top 5 passers ever. I think Trae Young's one of them.
Ever?
I think Trae Young's one of the 5 best passers of the basketball ever. Like,
Steve Nash, Chris Paul, Magic Johnson,
I'm not – Stockton's
not on there.
Stockton's for sure not on there.
No. Just passing.
Stockton's for sure not on there.
Jerry West.
Heck no.
Jokic is on there.
Heck no.
LeBron James.
My list was Jokic, Luka. My list was Jokic, Luka, CP3, Steve Nash, and Trae Young.
We gotta respect
that was my five.
I'm not gonna lie. LeBron's on there.
We gotta respect that.
I'm gonna be honest. There's a clip, and I will forever hold on to this. Trae Young is backpedaling at half court, looks away, throws a one-hand half court pass.
He's and totally
pure passing, I think he's one of the best passers of a basketball we have ever seen.
I would agree. Top
genuinely.
I am top five.
Okay. But for his height, like, I think there's passes.
I don't give a damn about
him. Every pass.
There's no pass. You can't pick a pass Trae Young can't make. That's the thing. You're trying to make the whole, like, well, Jokic is 7 foot. There's not a single pass that Trae Young cannot make.
Shoot.
I'll give you a better passer.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not getting LeBron. You're not getting LeBron.
There's a pass Trae Young threw off the glass to John Collins. I'm like, nobody else in the sport thinks about it.
I've seen
Trae Young do that like twice.
Trae Young cannot do that, dude.
I'll put a clip up. That's what I'm saying. Like,
okay. All that aside,
what Trae Young is asked to do for the Atlanta Hawks, like, we both have him 7. I just think when you compare that to a guy like a Darius Garland, he is that offense. He is a heliocentric player. And regardless of how you feel about heliocentric players, he's one of the few guys in the league that can do it. And it's been a couple years. He's taking them where they needed to be at times. This year is going to be the real litmus test for the East is as weak as it can be. They've given him everything that he could ever ask for. They quite literally gave him everything he asked for in free agency and trade-wise. He's got to produce this year. I think there's a world where he jumps James Harden. I think there's a world where I don't know if he jumped. I think Cade will just take another leap naturally. So I think him and Cade will be a bit of a tough conversation. But I think we forget. I think we forget how goddamn good Trae Young is, man.
He's good. My issues with Trae is that I just don't know if it's like, well, I mean, to your point, it's the projection list, and we're gonna find out this year. If he can't do it this year, I think we're all in agreement that like it's kind of chalk for him.
Part of why I have Trae Young where I have him though is because look at that roster the Hawks assembled for him. And so we talked about it the free agency preview
yeah.
where we talked about how Trae Young has the team to do with like Eastern Conference Finals in this wide open East.
Yeah,
should be expectations. He has the defenders around him to insulate himself defensively. He has the lob threats and Jalen Johnson and Kristaps Porzingis. He has shooters around him. They signed the white boy?
Luke Kennard.
Signed Luke Kennard. They signed, you know, Alexander Walker. Fell, you want to feel about him? He can shoot the basketball. They have a team. And so like it's kind of just missing the engine. I think Trae Young is going to be that engine for them this year. I think he's going to put a big number.
The question is, like, he's going to put up big numbers no matter what, just by nature of how he plays. The question is, which I think has been pretty resounding no the last couple of years, can he still provide efficient offense playing that heavy of a
role?
This is also an issue, right? It's not just that. He also, you can disagree with me, I don't know if y'all will, he doesn't like scaling down. So far, he's shown an inability. He can't scale down.
That's the problem. That's the Trae Young conundrum, and that's more of a roster construction issue about building around Trae Young. But as a pure basketball talent, like just him, like he is one of the few guys that you can say, here's 20 pick and rolls a game, go do it. And he's efficient at running 20 pick and rolls a game. A lot of it for him comes down to three-point variance. His best years are the years where he's 38 from three. His worst years are the years where it's 34 from three. And because of his shot diet, he's a floater and pull-up guy. That's what he is. He floaters, pull-ups, lobs.
So my issue with that is like, your complaint about Garland of like, oh, he's not asked to do as much, so he's scaled down. Man, I can see him scale down on a 65-win team. Trae Young kind of can't.
I don't think Trae Young can scale as good as Darius Garland, but I think Trae Young can scale down. I think he hasn't been in a position.
But do you think he's in a position to scale down this year?
He can scale down his shooting.
Of all the guys we named, none of those are guys that can scale down more in times past,
but no, he was supposed to be...
He's also never had somebody worth scaling down for.
And he still doesn't.
I'm going to say, like, he's always been, like, the de facto... Again, regardless of how you feel about Trae Young, as a pure basketball talent, very rarely is he... Not even very rarely. He has never stepped on a basketball court in his career as an Atlanta Hawk and looked over and said, I trust you with the ball in your hands more than me. And the other four guys, all you in, and as we said, yeah, you're right. Make the play for me. And that's been how his teams have been built. And they've been built because he is that talented at passing the ball, at running a pick and roll, at generating offense. Again, I also think, shout out to Quinn Snyder. I think he's one of the most underrated coaches in basketball. He puts him in positions with a lot of double drags, a lot of Spanish pick and rolls, a lot of horns actions to allow him to get into certain spots that allow a undersized point guard of his stature to produce. I don't want to harp on Trae Young too much because
I was going to say, I have Trae at 10, and I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm the biggest Trae Young believer up here.
Apparently not.
I've been the biggest Trae Young fan up here. The reason why I have him at 10 is I think in terms of his playmaking ability, he's still a top five in the league. I think that's something that's never going to change. Similar to like with Harden.
Yeah.
It's something that's never going to change. But at this point, we're three full seasons removed from 2022. Where he was averaging 28 on, I want to say, like 60 and a half true shooting, right? And at that point, you know, that's 28 on like plus five efficiency. And in those 3 years since, it's 56, 57, you know, 58. And my issue with Trae is it's not just that it's three-point variance reliant, because it is, right? But even in the seasons where the last season he shot 37% on, I think it was 9 attempts, still like 58% true shooting. And
he was 34 on 8.5.
Yeah, this past season, but season before, I think he's 37.
Yeah.
Point was standing. He's just not going to be an efficient scorer. Even when he is hitting his threes, it's going to be like league average efficiency. And for me, he can scale down the amount of times he shoots the ball, but the uses that he has, that's not scalable.
Yeah.
He's going to be a 90-plus touch-a-game guy, right? And my issue with that is, yeah, you can produce really good offense, but in the playoffs, because of how your shot diet is slated, it's not going to look pretty. It's just not. You don't really get to the rim that often. It's floaters and it's pull-up threes, and you're taking floaters and pull-up threes against elite defenses. It's going to look very
bad. He does get to the line a ton.
Yeah, he has a good free throw rate. But, I mean, we've seen him in the last couple of play-ins. And the last time he was in the playoffs in 2023, it wasn't that efficient. And then 2022, it was just horrible.
Yeah.
So the last four seasons, every time you touch any form of postseason basketball, it's not efficient.
I also think the notion that, like, you can only scale down if you think there's someone that can, like, handle the ball handling duties from you, I do think it kind of becomes like a chicken and the egg situation a little bit. Like, going into the playoffs, did you guys think that for the Pacers, Andrew Nembhard is going to be taking significant clutch time reps?
Yeah, that's how they played, like, the entire season.
But that's kind of my point, though. Is that all? Okay.
Andrew Nembhard would be the second best ball handler Trae Young has played with.
Andrew Nembhard for the regular season averaged 9 points.
I was getting this off the entire regular season. The Freedom FC gimmick. It's the truth.
Okay, but it's Freedom just played. But do you think Freedom FC is also not in part due to how Tyrese Haliburton plays?
Yeah, because he's a low touch guy. The reason he's low touch is his handle isn't as tight as a guy like Trae Young's. He's not as well versed as a pull up shooter because his shot is limited to where he can shoot off the court. And Rick Carlisle has one of the best offenses I have ever seen in my life that is conducive to more guys touching the basketball. Again, he can put that offense in play because Tyrese Haliburton, and like I said, I would have had Halley at 5 on this list. It's a reason he's above Trae Young because I think he's more conducive to a more efficient and better offense.
But I don't think that's because he's inherently more skilled than Trae Young. I do think it's a mindset thing.
I can't say it's a mindset thing. Like, I promise you, if Trae Young and Luka Doncic were teammates, his usage wouldn't be 70% or God knows what. Like, it just wouldn't. He would naturally have to scale down. Funny enough, when he played next to DeJounte Murray, he did scale down a ton. It's just everyone on the court began to realize DeJounte is just not good.
I just feel like you're giving him a lot of credit for being a number one option. And then when you're describing him in a winning context, it seems like he has to be a number two. And that's why, like, that disconnect is not.
That's the thing. It's again, we have never. I think he probably does need to be a number two.
No, absolutely.
I must say, I think there's only like realistically seven guys in the league that can be ones.
There's four guys.
Maybe four. Like, genuinely, maybe four guys. And that's probably four of the 10 to 12 in the NBA.
So when I accept that he probably likely has to be a number two in a winning context, and so far in his career, like, is it fair to say he? Even if he doesn't have a want to, or he doesn't really show the propensity to scale down.
I think again, I think in terms of like number one, for Trae Young to work, right? Like as a second option, his one option needs to be a big. It's that simple.
It needs to be a big.
Like he needs to have a big man number one option next to him. He is a guy like, I can't play him next to another guard. They tried it with DeJounte. Like, he can't do that. It has to be a legit center, a guy that can be a pick-and-roll duo with him. I think for other guys in this list, like, I'll spoil mine. Like, I have Ja number 8.
I do, too.
I think Ja Morant's another guy. Like, I don't think Ja can be.
Hold on. Let's recap.
You have Maxie, right?
Let's recap everyone's 1-7.
Did you say Darius Garland yet?
I've not said Darius Garland. He's on my list. No, okay. Darius Garland's on my list.
So hold on. Recap 1-7.
SGA 1, Luka 2, Jalen Brunson 3. Steph 4, Cade 5, Harden 6, Trae Young 7.
Okay, I'm going to go SGA, Luka, Steph, Brunson, Cade, Maxey, Garland.
Would you stop at 7?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I have SGA, Luka, Steph, Brunson, Cade, Garland. Trae's my 7.
I have SGA, Luka, Brunson, Curry, Kyrie, Harden, Maxey.
Okay, and I have
move on to 8?
I have Ja at 8.
I have Harden.
Okay.
I have Ja at 8.
Kate. That's crazy. He's that low.
I will say, like, to parlay from like the Trae Young point, I don't think Ja Morant is a guy that he's been presented as a number one option his entire career. I think it's becoming more and more increasingly apparent that he should be a two, but he's a guy that needs to be a two next to a five man because you can't reduce his ball handling duties and expect him to be Ja Morant. He's Ja Morant because when he has the ball in his hands, that boy is special. So you need to find somebody next to him. And Jaren Jackson, in theory.
In theory,
Jaren Jackson is like the partner. Yeah, enough times passed to realize Jaren isn't that guy. He's not as aggressive as a scorer. He's not as good as a scorer. But like those guys, it's not the fact that you need to reduce their ball handling duties. You need to reduce their shot attempts. And I think one doesn't require the other. I don't need to take you off the ball. So Darius Garland, I think, is a perfect example. They didn't reduce his time on the ball. They just said, You have Donovan Mitchell you can give the ball to. You have Max Strus you can give the ball to take a shot. Jared Allen's going to catch a couple lobs for you. Mobley's becoming a better self-creator. He's going to catch lobs for you. They've allowed Darius Garland in his role to say, I don't need you to be 27 a night. The rest of these guys, Trae Young has to be 27 and 11 for them to win something. When in reality, he probably should be 23 and 11. He should be 24 and 10. That probably should be where he's ideally as a player. Ja, I think, is in that similar vein. Like, he should be 23 and 9, 23 and 8. He's not as well-versed as a passer as a guy like Trae Young, but they shouldn't be guys that are taking 23 shots in a playoff game. Guess who's been asked to take 23 shots in a playoff game their entire careers? Ja has, Trae Young has. On the flip side of it, I'll spoil mine. I have Darius Garland at 9. Darius Garland has not been asked to take
Darius Garland at 9. Okay, so I know where you're snapping. Okay, real quick. I did want to say something about Ja. With the fact they lost Desmond Bane, who I think you could argue, can I get off that I think Desmond was better than Ja Morant last season?
He was better last season.
Yeah. Yes. So you lost who, in my opinion, was your best player last season. I think Ja Morant peaks higher. You lost that. They didn't necessarily replace, like, Anfernee Simons. I'm gonna be real. They haven't traded for him yet, but they were talking about trading for Anfernee Simons, right? I don't like that too much, right? Ja Morant he's in a situation where he is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah,
like, that team is going to go as far as Ja Morant takes. He's gonna get every opportunity to be that. And I think one thing people don't understand about Ja Morant, because of how electric of a, you know, a dunker, he'll like the, you know, behind the back, just, you know, the highlights. Ja Morant is sneakily a really good playmaker. Like, that was one thing I noticed.
I don't think it's sneaky. He averages like 9 assists.
But when you think about the best playmakers in the league, you don't think about Ja Morant.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think the casual fan knows he can dunk on you. When I was watching Ja Morant these last two seasons, I was telling myself, bro, that's a really good pass he just threw. Like, I didn't know he could do stuff like that. So I think we'll see him, you know, kind of open that bag a bit more this year. And like I said, I am projecting a bit because he didn't have the best season last season, but I'm projecting that he'll get it going back this season.
Well, I want to touch on Cade, because obviously I had him
a lot lower than us. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also do want to touch on the jaw stuff too. So with Cade, the reason why I have him at 8 currently is because, like I said, I think that when we're talking about these like number one option guys that really should be number twos, I think currently as constructed, Cade also fits into that mold. And I think, unlike those other guys, I think he has an efficiency issue as a scorer and as a playmaker, right? Because we already mentioned the volume of turnovers and how many bad turnovers he has, right? And I think in terms of his playmaking ability, I don't think he's a better playmaker than Harden. I don't think he's a better playmaker than Trae Young. I think he's better than Garland, obviously. I think he's better than
Maxey. He's a better playmaker than Garland?
Yeah, yeah.
Account for, like, he's by far the best defender out of the guys you just...
Yeah, yeah. I think the fact that he's 6'7", and... the fact that he's 6'7", and he's not, you know, barely 6 foot, and he's not, like a complete net negative on defense is important. But I do think, as currently constructed, he's probably the worst offensive player out of all the players that have been named so far. I have him over Garland for all the reasons we talked about.
Okay.
And I'm a bit lower on Garland than I think everyone. Well,
can I
ask Garland at all?
Yeah, I have a 9.
Can we round out everybody's list? So can we just get everybody's top 10?
So yeah.
9 and 10?
Yeah.
Start with Zay this time, I think.
Well, you already know the first 7. My 8 was Kate, my 9 was Garland, and my 10 was Trae Young.
Okay, mine is my 9, is James Harden, and then 10 is Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
My last 3 is Harden, Kyrie, Ja.
Okay. 8, obviously, I had Ja. 9, I had Darius Garland. 10, I had Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have
that. I had him higher. Did you
have Maxey?
I had him at 6.
Yeah. I did not. I think I'm the only one that didn't rank Kyrie, right? Or did you?
Okay, that's why
I
knew you were going to say
somebody. I have him at 9.
You had him at 9. Yeah, I didn't. Only reason I didn't rank Kyrie is the more and more I thought about it, I don't know how much of Kyrie Irving we're going to get back if he comes back in January. Because I think even now, him coming back in January is us expecting a normal rehab process. I think a lot of that will depend on how the Dallas Mavericks look. If Cooper Flagg hits the ground running and he looks like what we think Cooper Flagg can look like from day one, and they're the 7th seed, 6th seed, and they maybe think that they can make a push if they added Kyrie Irving back, I think you might see then him, I don't want to say rush back, because 10 months is like the normal recovery time for an ACL injury. I think if it's a bit of the flip side where they're the 9 seed and they're just kind of peddling in mediocrity, it's like, all right, Kyrie, like, get fully healthy. Get 100% healthy. Let's not worry about you coming back this season. You can wait. So I had a tough time. I think it, on a pure talent standpoint, I probably would have had Kyrie 7-8 in that range. I probably would have had him there. But just simply not knowing when he's going to come back or if he's going to come back next year, honestly, it was just hard for me to rank him on this list.
Yeah. So for me, my 11 was Jamal Murray. I don't know if that's like controversial, but the reason is I looked at my 9, 10, 11 guys and I was like, it's Kyrie, John, Jamal. And I was like, man, it feels weird to like overly dock Kyrie for availability when the guys I'm comparing to is John Morant and Jamal Murray, who guys are like, Jamal Murray, he plays more games than them too, but like, let's be honest, like he is very inconsistent in the regular season. Like, no all-star appearances for a reason. Yeah. Like, it's not like he's been snubbed. He just doesn't play to that level in the regular season. And then Ja, like, he also has his like share of not even talking about off-court stuff. I'm purely talking like just health-wise. Like, Ja like has missed a lot of games. He missed a lot of games last season. And that's kind of why I was like, man, if those three guys are fully healthy, I want Kyrie over those two. And that's why I ended up with Kyrie, John, Jamal.
Okay. I agree with that point. It's just for me, again, like, those other guys you name, I know at least day one of the regular season they're going to be playing. I don't expect to see Kyrie back even as early as January.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Okay, I don't want to argue because we're running out of time. But you think Jamal Murray is better than Trae Young? Because you didn't have him. You didn't rank.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, man.
So we're gonna parlay. Speaking of,
I really don't like Trae, dude.
Speaking of, funny enough, another guy that you did not name whatsoever that you also think Jamal Murray is better than is a guy that just got paid a whopping 4 years, $229 million by the San Antonio Spurs. For those who don't know what we're talking about, it is De'Aaron Fox,
Houston native.
Houston native De'Aaron Fox got paid $229 million, average AAV of 57.25. Don't know the exact specifics of what he'll be getting paid year to year. It's going to roughly be about 30% of the cap.
No player options.
No player options. No options at all. $229 million. I love to say Rich Paul is the real commissioner of the NBA, and he showed everyone once again why it is the Clutch Basketball Association and not the National Basketball Association.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, man. I was about to say, I'm the itcher for this one.
Bro, and Lex Luthor on it.
First and foremost, you know, I mean, I'd like to take my victory lap on saying that under no circumstances do I want De'Aaron Fox on my team. Because I was definitely getting called all types of stupid, all types of not very nice words. What I said, I would not flip Fred VanVleet for De'Aaron Fox. And lo and behold, here we are, not even a full calendar year later, and he's making double the amount of money that Fred VanVleet is per year.
He's making
more than that.
Yeah,
more than double. I mean, I don't know how much time we got, man, but the list against De'Aaron Fox is pretty wide. For one, right, on the Kings, DeMontis Sabonis is probably the most guard-friendly big in the National Basketball Association.
Not more than Jokic?
It's
Jokic, but...
Yeah.
He's one of the best screeners in the league. He's one of the best DHO guys in the entire league. You had that guy on your team for two seasons. Three seasons, actually. And never cracked 7 assists a game. In terms of how he scores the ball, we are talking about a guy who is shooting primarily short mid-range jumpers, right?
Off the dribble.
When we talk about his three-point shooting, his catch-and-shoot efficiency is some of the worst in the league. When we talk about his pull-up three-point shooting, it's very inconsistent. It's very on and off. When we talk about his rim finishing volume, it's very low. He does not get to the free throw line either. And on top of that, defensively, he's a cone.
People rate his defense.
We're talking about an on-the-ball player whose primary mode of scoring is short mid-range jumpers. And there were people who were legitimately saying, yeah, let's get this guy on the Rocket. There was people who were legitimately saying he can play next to a guy like Jalen, like Shingun, like Amen Thompson. Like, he has any ability to play without the ball in his hands. He is one of the worst catch-and-shoot three-point shooters in the league for his volume.
No, not even just for volume, just in the league.
And they are paying that guy $57 million starting next season, next year. I feel very, very vindicated because I've been pro.
And to add to this, they did that after having a guy who played point guard for them last year win Rookie of the Year and drafting at number two overall. They drafted a point guard and they decided to pay before they even had to pay him. They didn't have to pay him this year.
Oh yeah, that's another thing too, man. Shout out to all the Spurs fans out there who said you had a better, more enticing situation than us. I really, really, really hope that you enjoy the play-in the next three seasons, because that is where you will be. You are not winning a playoff series with De'Aaron Fox on your roster. Get me down for that own record. As long as he is on this team, they are not winning a single round of playoff basketball. Not one.
What if Wemby's the best player in the league?
He said it don't matter. De'Aaron Fox didn't matter nothing. You know what's so funny, Asad? If Wemby is the best player in the league, guess who's still going to be shooting the ball more times a game than Wemby is? Guess who's still going to average more touches per game than Wemby is?
Okay, did you want to do the game of the starting point guard?
I was going to say, I'm just glad that we're like, what, six episodes in? We finally got Isaiah Hill.
This thing sucks, man. Like, I'm not going to lie, bro. I say a lot of players think... But genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, De'Aaron Fox actually sucks. Like, that's not even hyperbole. I do not think he's that good, bruh. I've held this belief for a very long time. So I feel very vindicated that for 5 years, the next five calendar years, these Spurs fans are going to have to deal with him being the number one option on their team.
Okay. From the Spurs perspective, okay. I do think... They were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place on this deal. Yeah, like when a guy requests out and specifically asks to go to your team, I think it's an understanding by the agent and the league that you have to do right by him. And they did right by him. They gave him a max extension, which is what I think people would have said his value was a couple of years ago for the hand injury when he was coming off that 2023 season when they were the 2 seed. I'm just saying, it's not like he got it out of the blue.
One-time All-Star.
Do you think he makes another All-Star?
He'll never. I promise you, he will. I will. Shout out, go Bells. It's on the record now too. Made a bet. He will not make an All-Star game on this contract.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
he will not.
Agreed.
Are y'all ready? What I want to do is I want to ask. We're gonna run through the 30 teams or 29 of the teams in the NBA. Is this starting point guard?
You can include his own team.
He's going to include the Spurs.
You can include his own team.
Is this starting point guard better or worse than De'Aaron Fox? And Spurs fans, we're going to do this live so you can see the experience. The Thunder is...
No.
Is he better? Oh, yeah. No. SGA is better.
Okay.
0-1.
The Clavs, Darius Garland or De'Aaron Fox?
Darius Garland easily.
He actually might get the Celtics because I have no idea what the Celtics are doing right now.
Are you calling it? Are you saying it's Derek White?
Ooh, if it's Derek White, no.
I would rather have Derek White.
No, okay, no BS. I almost considered Derek White.
I didn't put him as a point guard.
I wouldn't list him as a shooting guard.
Yeah, like that's why I didn't put him on my list. Yeah. But if he almost made my list.
Well, he would have been. He was like, "We'll talk about that when we do the next episode."
Okay, so if we're counting Derek White, it would be Derek White if they're not, because they don't have a point guard right now.
Well, yeah, I guess you're better than Anthony Simons. Congrats.
I guess he's better than Fred VanVleet. Can
yeah, not contract wise.
Yes, just to
sure.
In a vacuum, I would rather have Fred VanVleet on my team.
I guess half of Boston. We'll give him Houston. He's not better than Jalen Brunson on the Knicks.
No debate.
Luke in the Lakers.
No.
Jamal. Do we consider Austin Reeves a point guard? Or he's also a two.
Yeah, he's a two.
You can try to say
that's another player.
He's worse than
better.
Two players in the league.
That's another player. That's better.
Jamal Murray on the Nuggets.
No.
I'd take Jamal.
Obviously not Halliburton on the Pacers.
Nope. No.
Yeah.
James Harden on the Clippers.
No. Absolutely not.
Shoot. I guess the Timberwolves still have Mike Conley, so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'll give him.
We'll give
sure,
him,
yeah. You're better than Mike Conley.
41-year-old Mike Conley.
So now he has half of Boston, Houston, and Minnesota. Same thing with Milwaukee. They don't have a point guard right now.
He's better than...
I would say, yeah, they do.
Kavante.
His name's Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah.
They don't have a point guard right now. So we'll give him the Bucks. The Warriors with Steph.
Easy no.
No. No.
Grizzlies with Ja.
No.
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 The Pistons with Cade. Easy no.
Yeah.
How with the Magic? Would you...
I was talking about this earlier. Sucks. Next year? Sucks. Next year, give me Jalen Suggs.
It might...
Give me Jalen Suggs.
He's better today.
Nah. Show the impact metrics.
Okay, but
we impact winning basketball.
But he's gonna average like
I play defense. Like I play defense, I shoot, catch, and shoot threes. I can slide next to anybody in the NBA. I also can run pick and rolls, and I'm actually effective.
Okay, I feel like we're making an argument. Suggs. Would you rather have Jalen Suggs?
No, Jalen Suggs is a better basketball player.
In a vacuum?
He's a better basketball
player. I disagree.
The sport of basketball. Not oh, it looks cool on this mixtape. He's better at basketball than De'Aaron Fox. Because what's the point of basketball again? Winning. He's better at doing that. Give me Jalen Suggs over De'Aaron Fox.
We won't count that one. The Hawks with Trae Young.
Trae Young.
So who? I guess it's Malik Monk. It's the King starting point guard. So.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Check them on off.
Oh my god!
They were on the same team. They were on the exact same team for 2.5 years. Tell me who ran a more effective offense with the exact same personnel, exact same head coach. And lie to yourself and say it was De'Aaron Fox.
Bro, Malik Monk averaged the same amount of assists as he did while playing less minutes and having less touches.
I will say, Malik Monk, I don't know who your agent is, bro. Fire him. Because yes. Your PR has been run through the mud, and you're so much better than what really the labels you've been thrown at.
The Bulls with Josh Giddey.
He's better than Josh Giddey.
He's better than Giddey, okay. Sure.
Cavs. I mean, Mavs with Kyrie. We'll give him Kyrie, right?
Better than Kyrie.
Yeah, no, I mean, not even.
No, 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 no. What about D'Lo?
I mean,
at this point, I'm just throwing names out.
Okay, the Heat are probably going to run Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero's better.
I would rather have
Tyler Hero's bureau. Tyler Hero's.
Yeah, Tyler Hero's better.
Okay. Tyler Hero can throw a lob pass.
Are you saying because a 3-point shoot?
He can throw a lob.
I think he's just better.
He's a better basketball player.
But, okay, the Phoenix Suns are probably going to run. They're going to run Devin Booker.
No. You're not getting that off. Every report that has come out.
I'm going to keep it.
Every report that has come out from the Suns camp, every report from Gambo, their local news reporter, athletic articles, they have all said Jalen Green.
Both of them. Next one.
Scoot Henderson on the Blazers.
Next year?
Next year?
We're giving it.
Are we projecting or saying right now?
I guess we're projecting.
No, right now.
How many teams are left?
1, 2, 3, 4.
We're like 5, dude.
It's 8.
Okay, we're at 5. So we've listed like 20 names?
22 teams.
22 teams?
I'll recap it when we're done, because it's about to get really easy.
I've been keeping count. We got 5 teams that we've said he'd be a better player for them.
Okay, because he's on the Spurs, so we won't count the Spurs, even though Dylan Harper's going to be better in like 2 years. The Raptors with Emmanuel Quickley.
He's better than Quickley.
The Nets don't have... They have a bunch of point guards.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They drafted 5. Yeah, Tyrese Maxey's better on the Sixers. The Pelicans have his favorite player, DeJounte Murray. I don't know.
He's better than DeJounte.
DeJounte's not even playing. He's better
than LaMelo Ball or De'Aaron Fox?
LaMelo Ball.
I would take... Okay, it's injuries. Fox.
In a vacuum. Just
LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball is not playing games.
LaMelo Ball.
I mean, I'd rather have LaMelo Ball not playing games.
Ask Wimby who he'd rather play with.
Okay.
No, I mean, LaMelo Ball is better in a vacuum.
He's a better basketball player.
It's a help thing.
LaMelo Ball.
Oh, so the last two names are the Wizards and the Jazz.
I ain't lying. Bub Carrington next year? I don't know.
Okay, so, all right.
No funny. I've seen Isaiah Collier throw lobs and skip passes. Show me the De'Aaron Fox.
I'm not letting you get them. To recap, we gave them half of the Celtics. We gave them the Rockets. We gave them the Timberwolves. We gave them the Bucks. We debated the Magic, so I won't count that. We'll put the half of the Magic and the half of the Celtics together.
So that's 5.
Five. Okay. Did we give them the Kings? I don't think we gave them the Kings.
We'll give them the Kings. People are gonna
give
be
them
back.
The Kings. We'll give them the Kings. We gave them the Bulls. That's 7. They did not get the Heat. They did not get the Sun. They got
He's
some
better than Jalen Green.
They got 8 with the Blazers. That's 9 if we count the Spurs. 10 if we count the Raptors. 11 count the Nets. He did not get the Sixers. He did get the Pelicans. That's 12. We'll give them LaMelo for now. So that's what, 13, 14, 15. So he's a top 15.
Yeah, he's an average starting point guard making
30% of their cap in
57.5 mil.
There you go.
And I'm going to be so honest with you, bro. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Spurs fans, y'all gonna hate him. I'm shocked y'all didn't hate him already. But y'all,
he only played like 20 games. Well,
so that's another aspect. I think it's another crazy thing that they're kind of hands tied, forced to do this deal, and you've got five games with him and Wemby together, especially when a guy is as PNR dependent as De'Aaron Fox and a guy
that's only played 17 games for them, and I'm not gonna lie,
17 games and only five of those with Wemby.
I would say it was 20 real point guard activity on 54 true shooting. So hashtag not that good. But all right, I think we beat the De'Aaron Fox horse over.
We beat the De'Aaron Fox allegations.
I'll say two more items of business before we end this episode. I don't know if you guys have been using Twitter, right? I know everybody on this panel does.
Lord.
But there is an ongoing conversation right now between Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul. We're like, let's go ahead and talk about that. Really quickly while we talk about playing.
Thanks to us, by the way.
I was going to say, people do not know this. The way that conversation started, and it's fact checked. You can go do the time steps, all that good stuff. What happened is when we did our first episode, we did the KD draft, and you guys took Chris Paul over Kyrie Irving. Really. The comment section was very mad at you guys for doing that. So I was like, I don't know who y'all think Kyrie Irving is. Chris Paul is clearly better. And then the tweet just went jumping from there. I think you're stupid if you think Kyrie Irving's better than Chris
Paul. Yeah, I respect to Kyrie Irving and the talent that he is. Please go watch like half a second of Hornets Chris Paul and tell me.
07 to 09?
Chris Paul.
They must say, watch Clippers.
You gotta go back to Hornets.
Chris Paul, I believe it would have been his third season in the NBA, finished second in MVP voting. And if you ask the right person, he should have beat Kobe for it. That's how good of a player Chris Paul was. To the point where when him and Kobe were supposed to team up, the other 29 owners of the NBA said, no, we cannot let this happen. He cannot go to the Lakers to team up with Kobe Bryant. Like, we're talking about one of the 5 to 6 greatest point guards ever, one of the 5 best passers ever. And he's playing in an era where pace wasn't emphasized the way that it was. He wasn't playing in the Steve Nash 7 seconds with Mike D'Antoni. And the boy just good, man. Like,
year where he did play in that type of offense was in 2017-18. Because, I mean, he was there in 2018-19, but he was hurt that year.
Yeah.
The one year where he was healthy, playing in the offense as a 32-year-old, he averaged 19-8 on 60 true shooting. And that was a second option to prime MVP James Harden. So, like, what I'm trying to get people to understand is, what do you think 27-year-old Chris Paul would do if you were to drop him in the modern NBA?
Oh, my Lord.
On his own team, where he's the primary.
24-12.
I think he might be like 26.
What is prime Chris Paul doing with LeBron James?
It's not going to 7 in 2016.
That's his teammate.
It's not going to 7. Not
even just that. Drop. Kyrie was 29 in Brooklyn. We'll drop Chris Paul next to Kevin Durant and James Harden.
Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah.
Drop Chris Paul on that Celtics team.
Yeah. This is not the end all be all, bruh. But has Kyrie Irving ever made anything higher than All-NBA third team? Because if I'm not mistaken, he's made second team one time.
No, and I also think people forget, Chris Paul was out here making all defensive teams.
Yeah.
At 6 foot. Clears Kyrie as a defender.
Like a real defensive team.
Yes, like actually.
So he made All-NBA second team in 2019.
Oh, okay.
And then he made 2 All-NBA third teams in 2015.
Yeah, with this Kyrie stuff, bro, I'm gonna be real, man. There's nothing more to this than just straight up aesthetic.
Chris Paul, 5-time assist champ, 6-time steal champ, 11-time All-NBA, rookie of the year, already made.
How many first teams does he have?
First team All-NBAs?
Yeah.
He's 4. Four.
Four. What are we doing, bro?
He's 5 All NBA second team.
Mind you.
9-time all defensive team as well.
The era of basketball.
9-time all defensive.
And he made 7 of those our first team.
It's ridiculous.
He was all NBA, I mean, all defensive first team from 2012 to 2017.
Yeah, like
every year.
Like, I feel like I saw real people saying, I think Kyrie's a better defender. Look what he did to Steph. People are forgetting Chris Paul, dude. Prime Chris Paul was literally first team all defense.
Yeah.
It is disrespectful that we are.
And this point, is a conversation.
I was going to say, I tweeted that, I think, 3 days ago. And it's I as we're on the podcast, Zay can vouch. I'm still getting tagged.
Yeah.
On the podcast, people are still talking about it. It is disrespectful that we it has gone this long.
I think a lot of it is like younger people, like people younger than us. Because I will say for a lot of us, our early basketball memories are like Hornets, Chris Paul. Like that's some of my first early. Shout out to I want to say that was 2K. 8? He was on the cover of? Like the 2K8, cover. Like that's some of our early memories.
Not even just Hornets, like Lob City Clippers.
Yeah, Lob City Clippers still. Like we grew up understanding how nice.
Do people understand? I'll say, do people remember how good he was for that first game on the Rockets?
I'm about to say, not even just was, you remember how nice he was with the Phoenix Suns?
Heat, bro. Yep. Y'all
at 35.
Y'all are going to hate me for it. And not y'all, but the people watching, 2017, 2018, Chris Paul is better than 2017, 2018 Kyrie Irving.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's better.
Yeah. That's not even a question.
So, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Kyrie's one of my favorite players of all time. I love him. It's Kyrie. Just like, it's not, in terms of the value you bring to a basketball team, man, it's Chris Paul and it's not even close.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, man. I think Kyrie Irving is, and as someone who had him fifth on my list, so like folks know I'm not a hater, but he is one of the more overrated players.
Ever.
Like in the history of the sport.
It's hoops, man.
Look.
And it's beautiful aesthetics.
All NBA appearances are not the end all be all. But I think it says something for a player to never have gotten a first team. And mind you, Chris Paul has 4. Let's talk about some of the guards. Because there's 2 on their spots. In the late 2000s and 2010s, Curry, who was a 2-time MVP.
Oh, go before that.
Harden. No, I am. I'm going to go all the way back. Before that. Curry, right? Harden, Dame, Westbrook, right? And then you start going before that, right? Kobe.
Darren Williams.
Dwayne Wade, Darren Williams. We're talking about
Steve Nash,
guys, Jason Kidd.
We're talking about multiple MVP winners, guys who have multiple NBA first teams. These are the guys that he is competing with, and he got 4 of them. Yep. For reference, Dwayne Wade has 3. I want to say Curry himself has 4.
He has 4, yeah.
So we're talking about guys who are top 20, top 25 all the time, and he has the same amount of first team or more than him. Yep. We're talking about Kyrie Irving, bro, who has 1 second team.
It is this.
You know who has more than 1 second team all NBA? Dame.
I'll say he's not better than
that.
Yeah.
You know who has a second team all NBA? Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
He's not better.
John Wall.
Oh, I was going to say, not to cut you off, but the conversation has devolved so far that Kyle Lowry.
Right? Oh, my Lord.
I want to get to the game before we get up out of here. So we don't have to go into it. But I think Isaiah will agree with this. He may not be better than Kyle Lowry, but we'll keep it pushing.
Ban Dargo charts.
Oh, hey, put the charts down, bro.
All right, y'all seen that meme with the calculators? Like time to watch basketball.
Yeah. All right, to end the episode today, the game we're gonna play today. I went to 2K16. I loaded it up. I need y'all to tell me every player on that team who had an A or better 3-point rating.
Oh, okay.
And this is from 2015-2016. It's that season.
What's the team?
What teams?
It's the entire league. Player in the league who had an A or A plus.
Okay, so an A in 2K is in.
It's 11 names.
Okay, so an A in 2K is an 85 three ball, right? I know that for a fact. It's an 85 three ball plus is an A. 88 is an A plus.
We can get the easy
one. Right? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. I'm assuming they would have gave James Harden an A.
No.
Really?
No, matter of fact, I play with the Rockets on 2K6 and he sucks. But yeah, no, he's not have a.
He didn't give an A. Was he an A minus? I'm assuming he had to be.
It's like a B.
Really?
Yeah, Kyle Korver?
Yes. Yeah, Kyle Korver on the Hawks. B1.
Did you get ready?
4. Oops. This 15-16, right? Yes.
KD?
No.
No, it wouldn't be KD. Funny enough, I feel like we just talked about him. Did they give it to Kyrie?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, Kyrie.
I must say, like, did they give it? 5. Don't want to dart out there. J.R. Smith?
No.
Oh, that's a pool.
It's hard to
think of all the like 3-point specialists from 2015-16.
Any other all star? Oh, Dame.
No,
Dame was a no.
No, he's not. He did not get
Oh
a.
Lord, Ronnie. Oh man.
No.
Okay.
But okay. So
Anthony Morrow.
Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
an insane.
That's a good pull.
Yes. So Anthony Morrow.
Dame.
All the Thunder. What? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think of like the people who only shoot 3.
Yeah.
Think. In that same nicheness, there's another name that's really niche.
Is Kyle Singler also on this list?
No.
Singler wouldn't have got an 85 plus. 85 plus 3 ball, 2K16.
Is it a Rocket?
No. I don't think we have any Rockets on that
list. There's a Rockets legend, though. Modern day Rockets legend.
EG?
Yes.
I was going to say, is he on the Pelicans?
When you said, I was like, was he on the Rockets? I was like,
he wasn't on the Rockets, yeah. I was thinking EG.
Danny Green?
No.
Ooh, okay, really?
That's a good point.
There was a guy who played in the Eastern Conference. He ended up joining LeBron, I think a season or two later. Really, all he did
Ray?
Was, no.
Mike Miller. No.
Mike something. Not Miller, though.
You said he joined LeBron.
He did 2017, 2018, one of those two. But yes, and all he did was shoot threes. That's all he did in his career. Didn't do nothing but shoot threes. He was really good at it.
Mike something?
Yes.
It's not Muscala, is it?
That's not Muscala.
I was thinking Muscala.
Yeah, it was like Mike Boyle.
Play for the Bulls.
Mike Boyle.
You might, yeah, okay.
All right.
That's all of them, right?
No, y'all have
four left?
Two more. Three more. Okay, next one. I think this guy might have a free throw record.
Jose Calderon?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
He's one of them. I'll give y'all a hint, and then there's a really niche one. Suns fans hate him right now.
Suns fans hate him?
Yes. Modern day Suns
fans. Oh, Brad Beal?
Yes. Beal?
They gave Brad Beal over a game?
Yes. Bradley Beal has a...
2K ratings. Been bad. Oh, my God.
And then last, but certainly not least, bruh, to play on the same team as Eric Gordon.
Pelicans.
It's not like Etuan Moore, is it?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Were they? Oh, my Lord.
Who else do they have on the team? Ryan Anderson.
No, not Ryan Anderson. All he did was shoot. It was a forward-ish. All he did was shoot.
White guy?
Yes, he's white.
Damn, what is his?
I can see his face.
I can see his face right now.
I have no idea.
Oh, my goodness. Single-digit number?
Anyway, he was, like, not good. So
yeah.
I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Oh, my Lord. I can see his face. I've traded for this guy in the sim before.
Okay.
He had the single-digit number.
I'm going to say I don't remember his name.
I think let's do 10 seconds. If no one throws it out, we're going.
You're going to say it, and it's going to absolutely bother
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
I'm out.
Three,
I can't think.
Luke Babbitt from the Pelicans.
Oh, Babbitt. Oh, my God. White boy, long hair. Yes.
We weren't getting that.
Yeah, super niche.
All right. Well, that has been the Right Read podcast today. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We got Isaiah to yell.
Nice.
Success, man.
Shout out to
D-Fox, man. Y'all forever be in your debt for that. But you can find us. Our links will be in the description down below for all of our link trees. Make sure you guys follow the podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify as well. Dropping every single Friday. And yeah, that has been the Right Read. Oh, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. That has been the Right Read podcast.